Thought for today. A successful being sees other successful beings. A successful being sees other successful beings. Herb, why do you repeat the thing three times every time when you say it? A successful being sees other successful beings. Well, I repeat it three times because I am making a statement as to what our title is. And if you don't hear anything more than what our title is, you will have gotten the whole talk. A successful being sees other successful beings. What does it mean for a successful being to see other successful beings? Well, what it means a successful being sees other successful beings is that when one is successful, he only sees other people who are successful. Now, Herb, are you going to give your entire talk around the words, a successful being sees other successful beings? Well, in a manner of speaking, yes. What are you? What am I? What kind of a person am I? Am I a person who lives my philosophy? I like to think I am. Am I a person who enjoys my life? I am. Am I a person who is successful? I am. Am I a person who is happy? I am. Now, what kind of people do I surround myself with? What kind of people make up my world? Do people who make up my world have problems? Some think they do. Do people who make up my world have needs and wants and desires that are not being fulfilled? Some think that they do. Is it true? For them, it's true. For me, I just look at them and smile and say, I like being surrounded by successful, happy people. I only see successful, happy people around me. What I am is what I see outwardly. Now, if I see outwardly the world in conflict and problem, then that's what's going on somehow inside of me. Somehow inside of me, I am not content. Somehow inside of me, I have all sorts of worries and all sorts of concerns, and they're real to me. But they're not real to you, because you're not inside of me. I can never be inside of you, and you can never be inside of me. But when I'm inside of myself and I know who I am, and of course my outer world is a perfect expression of what my inner world is, if I am in myself and I'm a happy person, I know that everybody around me is happy. And you say, well, 10,000 fall on one side and 1,000 on the other, as the Bible says, that's not a happy thing. Who says it's not happy? Those 10,000 people wanted to fall on one side and 1,000 on the other. Oh, come on, Herb, that is gross. That is really ugly and evil. You certainly are not going to make a statement like that and expect us to believe that. 10,000 people wanted to die on your left and 1,000 on your right? If that's what I create, yes. Well, Herb, that is just outrageous. No one in their right mind would allow themselves to think those thoughts. And that's correct. No one in their right mind would allow themselves to think those thoughts. That's why no one in their right mind has 10,000 falling on one side and 1,000 on the other. How many people do you know who have 10,000 people falling on one side and 1,000 on the other? Just tell me.
None.
Oh, yes. Don't go saying that. In battle, when there are wars, the people die in great numbers. The Twin Towers, many died. These are terrible things. They're not really terrible. They're just things that people have created and they don't want to take responsibility for. Well, who would take responsibility for the Twin Towers coming down except the terrorists who came and down? Everyone who sticks their nose in there. Everyone who wants to see it. Everybody who goes gawking at an accident. Everyone who wants to see the Indies 500 have crashes. Everyone who says, every 20 years we're going to have a war. These are people who want these things. But, Herb, that's just the way it is. Every 20 years there's a major war of some sort. Well, so be it. When is it going to stop? When is a new condition going to come into the world? For me, every 20 years there's not a major war. I was 20 years old, and then I was 40 years old, and then I was 60 years old, and then I was 80 years old, and then I'm 100 years old. So every 20 years I've experienced a war? No way. No way. There may have been wars going on in the world, but they're not my wars. I am not the slightest bit, well, you are too, because you cannot get things from Japan when they're in war. You cannot get things from Thailand when they're in war. You cannot get things from Germany when they're in war. You cannot, hey, I don't get things from places. I have things from things. In the Second World War, in America, to show their patriotism, all the American, many, I don't want to say all, many Americans took their Japanese-made dishes and silverware and other things and threw them in the trash. They don't want anything to do with Japanese in their world. And then they sat and watched their television. No, it didn't come out yet. They sat and listened to the radios, and they did whatever they did, not thinking that in those radios were parts that came from Japan too. Not thinking that the food that was made in large preparation vats were made from vats from Japan. Not thinking that perhaps many of the sauces and spices and other things had come through the Japanese. Just because you're at war with these people doesn't mean that everything you've done before the war is to be discarded. And what happened immediately after the war? They became our best buddies. What happened to the Germans after the war, when America was at war with Germany? They became their best buddies. They're our relatives, actually, you don't remember? And there was no war. The war was only for those who wanted to participate in it. You say, well, Herb, that is not really very nice. Well, a successful being sees other successful beings. If you're going to concentrate on war, I was interested in going to the Booker's bookstore and a few of the other bookstores and looking at their discount book areas. And in their discount book areas, one of the largest numbers of books that they have in the discount book areas are books on war, photographs of war and things like that. Perhaps they sold well, but these were the leftovers, and they were giving them a discount price. And I thought, yeah, people didn't buy them. You don't see any of the top best sellers on the discount table. You just see those where the people were trying to encourage people to think about war. They were trying to encourage people to think about anger and unhappiness and violence, earthquakes and floods and wind damage and things like that that they wanted you to think about. Oh, this hurricane in Florida is so terrible. Well, you put your attention on these things, and that's what your life is. Well, Herb, you have spent almost 9 minutes of your 15-minute talk this morning telling us all about these things. Yes, that's true. That's true. And that's just like most of us do. We spend the majority of our time thinking about things that we don't want to experience, instead of thinking about things that we are experiencing. Are you experiencing a wonderful life? Oh my goodness, yes. Are you experiencing a balanced diet that suits your purpose? And for Anita, who is a vegetarian, the balanced diet does not include meat. And for Sylvia, who is not a vegetarian, the balanced diet includes meat. Now, how can you have two balanced diets and one include meat and the other not? Well, it's balanced for you. It's not balanced as far as the government goes or agencies go. You go to the vegetarian agency and they say anyone who eats meat is not living a balanced diet. And you go to the meat eaters convention and they say anyone who's not eating meat is not getting all of the things that they need in their body, in their system. And today the doctors will say you should not have so much salt in your diet. And tomorrow the doctors will say more salt in the diet brings a better balance within the body. It keeps the homeostasis of the body in better order. And so it's constantly changing. We have to live from our heart. And when we live from our heart, we see everything from our heart. We see a successful world. We see a successful group of people around us. We see everyone living harmoniously and joyfully and wonderfully. And that's the way it is. Button comes up to me, my little schnauzer, and he takes his paw and puts it on me and says, "Pet me, Dad." And so I pet him for a moment or two, and then I go on with what I'm doing. He says, "More." So I pet him some more and go on with what I'm doing. He says, "More." And I say, "Now that's enough. You just lay down and be quiet." So he lays down and be quiet. He's successful in what he wants to do. And then he creates me saying, "Just lay down and be quiet." Why don't I say, "Now look, Button, I want you to go out and rake the lawn. I want you to mow the grass. I want you to dig in the garden and fix these things up." He knows how to dig in the garden, you know. "I want you to go and jump in the pool out there and stir it around and splash out the water. Do this and that." And what happens? He just lays down next to me. And I say, "Okay, whatever you want to do." He's a successful dog. A successful dog. He creates his world just the way he wants it. And he creates me saying exactly what he wants me to say. Of course, he'd like to have me pet him for a longer time. But also, he would like to have me not pet him. Because whenever he feels he's had enough petting, he walks away. Or he lies just out of reach, so I cannot pet him. I mean, they're not stupid. Well, now, if dogs are so intelligent, why don't we follow suit a little bit? Dogs see things to bark at because they love to bark. And there's nothing there. We see things to bark at because we love to bark. And there's nothing there. Well, let's have fun doing whatever we do. Let's be successful in doing whatever we do. Let's live a happy life. Let's bark at things that are really important. Let's say, "I am independently wealthy. I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, body. I am surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances." Wow, what a way to go, you know? What a way to go. And all things that I do not find harmonious do not leave my lips. All things I do not find harmonious and balanced and joyous for me, I do not give attention to. And I do not proclaim them with my words, with my thoughts, with my actions. I only proclaim the truth that a successful being sees other successful beings. And I'm a successful being, and my goodness, you all are successful beings. You all are super successful beings. You know why you're super successful beings? Because all you see are other successful beings. And just go ahead and compound that. Compound that with your thought every day. And just watch how your little ripple of the stone in the middle of the pond goes out and out and out. And when you say, "I am a successful being, I am a successful being, I'm surrounded by successful beings," pretty soon you're surrounded by successful beings, and that little ripple of the pond just goes out and out and out and just reaches and reaches and reaches and does beautiful things. Just does beautiful things. Yes. And love is standing here in front of me, a little mini pin. He's lifting up the towel here, saying, "I'd like to crawl underneath there and go to sleep because I like to cover up when I go to sleep." What a creator. What a creator. I sleep on the floor every night, and he comes along, and he breathes in my face. He said, "Lift up the cover, please." So I lift it up, and he crawls under there, and then he starts his spin. And next thing you know, I'm without a cover. What a master. So I just get another cover. What a creator. A successful being sees another successful being, and boy, he is successful. And if the dog can be so successful, we certainly can too. I love you.